Good morning. I'm Martha Foley. A former safety officer at the St. Lawrence Seaway Development Corporation says she was fired after she reported a colleague for groping her on the job.
I just walked out of the room, went into my office, shut my door, and threw up.
She's now suing the Seaway Corporation.
It was that invasive.
She's now suing the Seaway Corporation, a special report this morning. Also, Governor Cuomo sets aggressive goals for carbon emissions and renewable energy for New York State. All eyes on space. Watertown 7th graders send an experiment into space, and they'll watch the launch at Cape Kennedy Sunday.
I think it's actually pretty cool. I never thought I'd be able to do this. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for us.
Also, outdoor conditions in the Adirondacks this weekend. Hot weekend. Stay with us.
Good morning. This is North Country Public Radio. The time now is 6 minutes past eight. And on this Friday, the 19th of July, it's the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Todd Moe.
I'm Martha Foley. Well, stay cool, Todd.
Yeah, good advice. Very hot and humid over the next few days. The Weather Service has issued heat index advisories. That includes all of our region for the next couple of days with hot, muggy conditions, partly cloudy, maybe some light rain showers at times.
North Country Congresswoman Elise Stefanik has waded into the controversy over President Trump's attacks on four Democratic congresswomen. A day after Trump accused a Muslim lawmaker of anti-Semitism, Stefanik echoed his attack in a post on Twitter yesterday. Brian Mann has more.
At a rally in North Carolina, President Trump accused Congresswoman Ilhan Omar of Minnesota of hating America and embracing anti-Semitism, sparking a controversial chant from his audience, "Send her back." A growing number of Republican lawmakers have condemned Trump's behavior at that rally. Elise Stefanik didn't respond to NCPR's request for a comment about Trump's attacks. She hasn't spoken publicly about the controversy. But she did chime in about Omar yesterday, writing on Twitter, she too accused the Democrat of anti-Semitism. Shame on Representative Omar for bringing this dangerous rhetoric to the halls of Congress, Stefanik wrote. The North Country Republican was referring to Omar's sponsorship of a resolution supporting boycotts and divestments targeting the state of Israel because of that nation's treatment of Palestinians. Six Democrats, including civil rights icon John Lewis, co-sponsored the measure, but Stefanik's tweet only targeted Omar. In a separate tweet, Stefanik also noted yesterday that she voted against an unsuccessful effort to impeach Donald Trump. Brian Mann, North Country Public Radio.
Political leaders in Vermont have sharpened their attacks on President Trump. Yesterday, the state's lone congresswoman, Democrat Peter Welch, formally announced that he supports Trump impeachment. Meanwhile, this week, Vermont's Republican Governor Phil Scott described Trump's Twitter attacks on the four Democratic lawmakers, all women of color, as offensive and racist. The St. Lawrence Seaway Development Corporation is a major employer in St. Lawrence County. The Seaway operates the locks, manages shipping along key stretches of the river, and it provides steady federal jobs with good benefits to roughly 100 workers based in Messina. But one former employee says she lost her good job with the Seaway because she complained of sexual harassment and assault in the workplace. A warning, this story contains content that might be disturbing to some listeners. Lauren Rosenthal has been investigating, and she has our story.
Behind every sign in a factory that says X number of days without an accident, there's a person like Susan Hauer, a safety officer who's supposed to look out for workers.
They are there to put their 8 to 10 hours in, and it's my job to make sure that they go home with the 10 fingers and 10 toes.
Hauer started at the Seaway in 2015. She was one of just a few women out at the locks in Messina in a position of authority. Hauer says it was normal for workers to give her a hard time, in part because she's a woman.
Anything that can get thrown at you was thrown at me. You learn to let it roll off.
But a year into the job, Hauer claims something happened that went beyond the usual jokes and comments and hit her hard. An engineer who was friendly with Hauer was talking with a supervisor in another department when that supervisor asked a shocking question.
He said, So, how many of these company vehicles have you f***ed Sue in? And the engineer was stunned. This was somebody that I had to work with very closely every single day. And these were the thoughts he had.
Hauer says she complained to her boss about it. The person who actually made the remarks wound up being demoted, but not fired. The Seaway didn't comment for this story, but North Country Public Radio talked with four people who worked there with Hauer. We're not using their names or real voices because they're afraid of retaliation. They told NCPR about multiple examples where harassment wasn't taken seriously at the Seaway, even though it's a federal workplace, part of the Department of Transportation, which has a zero-tolerance policy on the books. Hauer's coworkers described the car incident the same way. After it happened, one of them said,
"Everything continued to get worse. This whole scenario just snowballed over time."
That is not our source's real voice. We're using an actor. Susan Hauer says she reported multiple rumors and sexual comments made about her in her first years at the Seaway. Records show Hauer's actual job went well. She received solid marks on performance evaluations, even got a bonus. But when Hauer got a new boss in 2016, things changed. Within months, Hauer says her workload got heavier, and records show her evaluations got worse. The new boss raised questions about the, quote, quality and timeliness of Hauer's work on everything from safety reports to accident investigations. Hauer's husband, Kyle Mayette, says this new pressure was a sudden shift.
It seemed to me like they wanted her to quit. And, you know, they were trying to get her to, you know, run away. And Sue's not that person. She's not going to tuck and run.
Hauer pushed back. In January 2017, she filed a federal complaint with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. Then, just 2 days later, things allegedly got way worse for Hauer. She was talking with a coworker in the Seaway maintenance building.
And I felt someone come up behind me, and he put both of his hands around my back, grabbed both of my breasts, shook me back and forth, and said, "Ha, ha, ha, you can't take me to HR now. I'm retiring."
Four coworkers corroborated this story to NCPR. They say Hauer told them about the alleged assault. She also talked with two family members, and there was a witness, an employee, who would later give a sworn statement saying Hauer was grabbed by the left breast. Quote, "He laughed about it. That was the sick part about it. He thought it was funny," end quote. Hauer says she was in shock.
"I said nothing. I just walked out of the room, went into my office, shut my door, and threw up." It was that invasive.
NCPR spoke with employment lawyers for this story, and they say what Hauer did next is pretty common for people who experience sexual assault at work. She didn't call the police. Instead, she reported the incident to her managers and tried to move on.
I did not have time and did not want to think, but I would come home at night and I would throw up and cry and go to bed. It wasn't something, I left it there as best I could.
Over the next year, records show Hauer continued to have problems at work. Her boss put her on a performance improvement plan and eventually ordered a suspension for, quote, "insolent conduct and inappropriate challenges to my authority," end quote. As Hauer's work life was collapsing, her brother Mike was living out of state. He says he didn't know about any of this until Susan called him one day and opened up about what she'd experienced at the Seaway.
You know, that's when I told her, "Hey, I think if someone did what you're saying they did, you should go ahead and call the police, because that's not sexual harassment, that's sexual assault."
In February 2018, more than a year after the alleged assault, Hauer did go to the police. The man who allegedly groped her was charged with forcible touching. After that, things happened fast. Records show Hauer was suspended from the Seaway. The man who allegedly assaulted her pleaded guilty to a lesser charge, harassment. And just a few days later, Hauer was fired for, quote, "failing to demonstrate an acceptable level of performance." All that in the span of a month. A coworker told NCPR that the Seaway's treatment of Susan Hauer was deeply upsetting. Again, this is a voice actor.
"Our safety officer being fired and the fact they actually could fire her with all the pending complaints shocked us. It leaves us feeling very vulnerable."
Hauer says the effect on her life has been profound. She's now commuting to a new job 80 miles away. She started seeing a therapist to cope with stress. Hauer says she hasn't had any contact with the man who allegedly groped her at the Seaway, but NCPR did talk with him. His name is Rick Price, and he says, yes, on his last day of work, he did touch Susan Hauer.
I was getting, all of a sudden I started getting emotional last day, you know, after 38 years. And I sort of like needed a hug or something. You know, I needed somebody to tell me, you know, have a good time, this and that.
Price denies that he grabbed Susan Hauer by the breasts, but he does admit this wasn't the first time he was accused of inappropriate behavior at the Seaway. Over four decades, Price says there were at least two other incidents where a female coworker complained about him for making off-color remarks or jokes. Price says he even got suspended, but he never got fired. Susan Hauer did. Today, she's pressing forward with a case against the Seaway. The alleged harassment and assault, the firing and conflict with her boss. It's all before a federal judge with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. Employment lawyers told NCPR that Hauer's decision to talk to the media could pressure the Seaway to settle. But Hauer says that's not why she decided to talk.
It was easier to move on once you just let it out, you know, and to start telling the right people and start putting the pieces in place. And, you know, nobody should have to go through this. I do not want any other woman to be subjected to what I was going through.
Again, the St. Lawrence Seaway Development Corporation declined to comment for this story. Hauer says she expects several coworkers to be deposed and give sworn statements about her case in the coming days. Lauren Rosenthal, North Country Public Radio.
Governor Andrew Cuomo yesterday signed a climate plan setting a goal of an 85% cut in greenhouse gas emissions in New York State by 2050. He was joined by former President Al Gore, longtime climate change activist. Karen DeWitt reports.
Cuomo told Democratic lawmakers, union leaders, and environmentalists that the law is the most consequential of his administration.
In a few minutes, I will sign the most aggressive climate law in the United States of America.
New York's law also sets interim goals that call for 70% of the state's electricity to come from renewable energy sources such as wind and solar by 2030, and that all electricity in the state be carbon-free by 2040. Former Vice President Al Gore served with Cuomo when the governor was HUD secretary in the Clinton administration. Gore credited Cuomo for acting, along with other key states, to fulfill the goals of the Paris Accord on climate change after President Donald Trump pulled out of the agreement.
We're gaining momentum. I started to say we're gaining on the crisis. We're not yet at that point, but if we keep gaining momentum, we will soon be gaining on the crisis.
The law was widely praised by environmental groups who say the ultimate success or failure of the law depends on the details of how the goals are met. Liz Moran with the New York Public Interest Research Group wants the state to issue an annual public report card.
This is complicated stuff. We throw around things like megawatts and gigawatts a lot, and the average member of the public might not understand these things. We need something available that can as easily as possible help the public understand how this transition is happening.
The state's largest business lobby group, the Business Council of New York State, has some reservations about what it says are very ambitious goals. The council's Darren Suarez says,
at this time, there is no technology to get us to where we want to be at 2050.
A 23-member climate action panel will be created to carry out the goals as part of the new law. Business leaders as well as environmentalists will be included. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
There's more details on this story at ncpr.org. I'm Martha Foley.
This is John Warren from the Adirondack Almanac with your look at outdoor recreation conditions around the Adirondacks for this weekend. Temperatures are expected to reach well into the upper 80s to mid-90s with a high dew point. The heat index in some areas, including parts of Warren County, could reach 100 degrees. There is also a threat of isolated showers and thunderstorms today and Saturday. Saturday's storms have the potential to become severe and produce damaging winds and hail, so keep an eye on the weather. Most waters remain just above their normal summertime lows, and even the coldest waters will likely reach near 70 by Sunday. Warner Band Lake George has been running at about 75 degrees, about the same temperature as Mirror Lake. Arbutus Lake in Newcomb is in the upper 60s. The Hudson River is back to about 3 feet on the North Creek gauge. With the waters this warm, it would be a great weekend for rafting or paddling. And finally this week, road work has started on Gulfbrook Road in the Southern High Peaks. The road is open to the Fly Pond Gate Friday through Sunday for the time being. Those are the local outdoor conditions in the Adirondacks for this weekend. For North Country Public Radio, this is John Warren from the Adirondack Almanac. Online at AdirondackAlmanac.com.
You know, everybody's watching space this weekend, but as NASA celebrates the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11 moon landing this weekend, you and I watched that on TV, Todd. An experiment designed by a group of Watertown 7th graders will be launched on its way to the International Space Station. They'll test the capability of removing metallic rust in the microgravity of space. The SpaceX launch on Sunday is the highlight of a journey that began last September for these kids.
Yeah, the students conducted research and developed proposals working with the Jefferson County Cornell Cooperative Extension's 4-H Youth Development After School Program. Ann Philhart teaches 6th grade at Wiley Middle School in Watertown.
When I first heard about it, I said, oh, we have to do this. We tried to do it a couple of years ago, and it requires a great deal of money and involvement with a university and with local businesses. But I was so excited about it that I made all my students, all 26 of them, design a project. So they worked in teams. We had 7 applications from our classroom.
About 50 student teams in Jefferson County brainstormed spaceflight experiment ideas that ranged from the potency of hand sanitizer in space to microgravity's effect on growing strawberry plants.
If a few months ago someone asked me to list things that I never thought would happen to me, this would definitely be on that list, but here we are.
That's 7th grader Alex Higginbotham. I stopped by the school earlier this year to meet the students and faculty, the crew, working on the space project.
Okay, I'm Ann Philhart. I'm a 6th grade teacher here at Wiley School in Watertown, and I teach 26 wonderful students, all subjects except their special areas.
Agnika Katek.
Skyemi Thomas.
Mallory Williams.
Alexander Higginbotham.
Ryan Arcasteel.
And?
Mitch McCormick. I'm the director of 4-H After School Programs.
Skylar Rizzo, and I'm the coordinator for the 4-H After School Program here at Wiley.
These guys did a really great job of coming up with something that didn't have a lot of moving parts, so it was definitely something that made it easier to fit into the restraints of the experiment and the tube that they have to fit it into. It's very tiny. But they also were thinking about the impact of it. They weren't just doing an experiment to do one. They were doing one that would have results. So they wanted to make sure that, you know, space travel would be safer, and removing rust was something that they could do to help make it that way.
In the future, if mankind has to live in space, they will still need oxygen, which can cause the items to rust. This experiment will test how rust removal works in microgravity. If an important piece of machinery rusts, everyone on board can be in danger. If you know how best to remove rust in microgravity, we can work our way to a safer future in space.
The students worked with scientists at Cornell to assemble the experiment. It's a plastic tube about the size of a foot-long hot dog with chambers filled with water, vinegar, and a metal rod.
In our first proposal, what we were going to do was if objects can rust in space. But then I said that rust needs oxygen. There's no oxygen in space, so I proposed the idea of rust removal, and everyone seemed to agree with that.
Yes, so going off of what Sky said, we were, like, afterward we thought of the idea and stuff. It was proven a lot more difficult than we originally thought, because we had to come up with the idea entirely ourselves, so it was kind of difficult to think of it at first, but we eventually got better and put together something.
Can I tell you what I learned from it?
Yeah,
I've learned a lot more about, like, teamwork and effort and stuff, because it's sometimes really hard to work as a team, but I think this team really works together really well.
So what do you think about the idea that your experiment is going to be up in orbit and astronauts are going to be working on it?
I think it's actually pretty cool. I never thought I'd be able to do this. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for us.
A SpaceX payloads specialist worked with the students to make sure it met space station guidelines. And all along the process, teachers Ann Philhart and Mitch McCormick say the focus was on student-centered learning.
They not only wrote the proposals, worked to make sure that they were refined, but they've been in charge of all the fundraising. They're making T-shirts. They've done thank you notes for all the wonderful donations that have come in. So,
yeah, Ann's absolutely right. There are a lot of secondary benefits that have come completely outside of learning about space science and the field of research. We worked with New York Airbrake to have them machine the metal rods that will be used for the experiment.
Just the trial and error portion of it, I think they realize that in science, when they are, and we've connected several times with their expert at Cornell, Dr. Vaith, she was so excited about the project. What did she do? Do you remember?
She started the project in her house, on her counter.
On her kitchen counter.
And I remember before we even started thinking about doing the project, we had to sit in the library and learn about rust from the books in the library.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm. So you couldn't Google it, huh?
No, we weren't allowed to Google it. We had to look for it in the books.
So what's more cool than having a science experiment launched into space? Watching the launch in person. The five Watertown middle school students, along with parents and faculty, will be at Kennedy Space Center for the launch this weekend. Then in late August, the experiment will return to Earth just in time for the new school year and a chance for the students to study the results. And you can find photos and more information
on
our
website. How cool is that?
Yeah, isn't that really cool?
That is amazing.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
A lot of fun.
Hats off. Hats off to everybody involved with that one.
So how do you cool off when it gets to be like, you know, 90s?
I stop moving. I definitely don't do any gardening or anything like that. That would be crazy. I stop moving. Yeah.
Seek water?
I seek water, yeah. Yes. Either I drink a lot of water, Yeah, I've been known to run through a sprinkler if I'm not somewhere where I can dive in.
That sounds like a great idea.
Really be careful this weekend.
Good advice. This is North Country Public Radio. I'm Todd Moe.
I'm Martha Foley. It is going to be really hot this weekend. State parks are keeping their pools and beaches open longer to help people deal with the heat wave. And there's a list. It's easily available. You can find it easily at www.parks.ny.gov. All of the available state park swim locations and places to cool off right there. www.parks.ny.gov.
The Colton Pierpont Central School Auditorium is air-conditioned, and you can come indoors tonight for a performance of The Tavern, presented by Grass River Players, a musical melodrama mystery spoof. It's part of the Sunday Rock Legacy Project, 7 o'clock tonight, and then Sunday afternoon at 2.
It's Adirondack Challenge Weekend in Indian Lake. The governor inaugurated this event years ago to highlight recreational activities. It's today through Sunday, 10 o'clock to 9. Tons of activities in Indian Lake.
Tomorrow and Sunday, Fort Ticonderoga will host the largest battle reenactment of the year. It's called Montcalm's Cross, and it is both Saturday and Sunday throughout the weekend at Fort Ty.
You know, I have to say, folks, go to ncpr.org/calendar because there are so many things going on, from like the farmer's market today in Canton. There's a used book sale in Colton. There's an art collage button workshop in Ogdensburg. Tons of art exhibits. You can see ballet tonight at SPAC Capelia. Shakespeare in the Adirondacks, starting in Blue Mountain Lake in that area. And I don't know, there's just tons to do and...
Too many things to mention in just a couple of minutes.
It's
right?
Really yeah. True. Yeah. ncpr.org/calendar. And check out the list of beaches and pools, state parks that are open longer this weekend at parks.ny.gov. Stay cool, Todd.
Likewise. Thank you so much for joining us.